what's going on, everybody? I'm Jay, and this is the Rewatch Podcast. I watch movies all the time. Then I like to rewatch them, and sometimes I'll even watch them again. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad or just downright terrible. I'm going to watch them and then tell you all about them. And sometimes I'll have special guests join me. This is the Rewatch Podcast. Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast. I am Jay Thomas, and this week we are finally going to be talking about Dune 2. It's a movie I've put off for a while. I saw it a long time ago, but it comes out digitally this Tuesday, and I had to get my good friend Sean to come back because you're a big Dune fan, and I need your help talking about this movie.
I'll do my best. I really was late to the game of Dune. I never read the books. That's the most common question you get. Have you read the books?
Yeah.
No, and like 90% of Americans, I have not. I did attempt and failed like 95% of Americans.
It's sort of like the Lord of the Rings for me. Like, I'm not going to go down that road. I tried once and I was like, no, I'm good at the movie, I think.
Yeah, we've kind of passed it. It's just going to be more confusing and weird, which I'm here for. I mean, I'm here for the hard sci-fi, but from what I hear, it just is pretty crazy. And I don't need to tie up all those strings in my mind. I've already got enough to think about movies and all the other fun stuff.
Speaking of movies, today we're actually recording this like Thursday night, and there was a bunch of CinemaCon stuff that has come out today and yesterday, and I thought we could touch on a little bit of that first before we get into it. Did you know about the Running Man remake?
No.
Some potentially good news. Would you like to know who the director is?
Yeah, you said it's good news, so I'm assuming it'll be someone we like. Go ahead.
Mick G.
Oh, God. Why did you call the old bait and switch?
I'm just kidding. It's not McG. It's Edgar Wright.
Oh, thank God. Thank the heavens. Thank the maker. Thank everybody.
It looks like the star is going to be Glenn Powell from Top Gun Maverick. He seems like he's getting a lot of roles these days.
Yeah, the next...
Which I like that guy. I liked him in that Richard Linklater movie he did a couple of years ago. I guess, God, the movie...
Everybody Wants Him?
Yeah. Did you see that movie?
I did not. I really should. It should be in my wheelhouse.
Well,
Linklater, and I love the 80s. So
I liked it more the second time I watched it. Like, the rewatch for that was better for me because the first time, all they ever talked about was it was like the spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, even though it's not connected at all.
Right.
So, like, in my head, I just had Dazed and Confused, and it's very similar, and it's not Dazed and Confused. So, like, yeah. I had to get that in my head. Like, it's sort of like an Office, Parks and Rec type of thing. Where when I first saw it, I was like, I don't like this. This isn't The Office, but it's really close to it. But then when I watched it again, I was like, oh, no, I like a lot of these actors. This is actually working for me.
Yeah, it's like the Simpsons Futurama kind of comparison. You have to, like, respect the creator, but it's not going to be the same thing over again. It's going to be just a little bit different and make itself, you know, differentiate from the source that you're comparing it to. And it's going to be as good, if not better, sometimes. And Dazed and Confused, I love Dazed and Confused. I didn't like it the first time I saw it when we were actually age appropriate for that when that movie came out. It totally over my head. I didn't understand it. And then I revisited a few years, you know, after that and fell in love with it. Now it's one of my go-to comfort movies. I love it.
It's a timeless movie. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. I don't think the other one is as much, but it's fine. But I think that was the first time I saw Glenn Powell. But yeah, The Running Man's a movie I've only actually seen maybe three times. I have it. Mm-hmm. One of those. I own it, but I've only actually seen it a couple times. That was one of the rare ones when we were kids that, like, I didn't see it. Like, I didn't see it till I was an adult.
Yeah. No, I understand how you could miss it because I only caught it, you know, in my VHS era. I recorded it, you know, one Sunday night when they used to do movies. And again, it's a completely edited and cut down movie. Like, when I saw it again on DVD years later, it blew my mind. I was like, wow, not surprising. Like, this is an Arnold movie. It's really graphic, but really fun. Really good movie. I've seen it a few, you know, 10 times maybe. I like it. And I love Arnold, though. Like, Glenn Powell. He's going to grow on me, but I fear like he's going to be like Chris Pratt. Everyone's like, oh, he's so charming and funny. And now we're all going to be sick of him. And soon he's going to be the voice of every single cartoon character there is.
I kind of forget that we still have like a Chris Pratt Garfield coming too. Another thing that came out today was the R-rated live action Ninja Turtles movie. Did you see that?
I did see that one, The Last Ronin.
The Last Ronin, did you read The Last Ronin?
Did not know about it, almost added it to my cart and ordered it immediately because it sounds great.
It's a really good story, and it is very bloody and violent, and it's not a kid's version of the Turtles, that's for sure.
I do like the multiple streams that they're doing, that Paramount's actually doing now with kids and now with an adult one for the Turtles. It's a good mix. And people used to complain like, oh, you can't do that to kids. You can't put a movie out and they won't know what movie they're getting. And now it's like, well, kids have the internet at 5, so they know which movie we're all getting. Yeah. Everyone knows. So you can differentiate the materials to different audiences, the same characters, the same IP to different audiences, as long as it's done well. That's all I want.
I'm interested. I mean, the book was really good. I mean, I kind of, there were some parts of it that I wasn't sure on, but I thought it was, I was very excited every new issue that came out. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. And then I think there's a couple other things. They officially announced, which I messaged you about this, G.I. Joe and Transformers are finally legit. They've announced the crossover, which was teased in the last Transformers movie at the end.
I'll buy a ticket to that, but I don't know how much I'm going to have.
We'll probably go together.
Most likely, and then do a podcast on it.
That seems like the kind of movie we would go to.
Very rewarding. The Transformers movies, for what they are fun enough. G.I. Joe movies, I didn't see Snake Eyes, but the first one I thought was really fun. It was bloated and it just kind of cheesy, but really fun. I didn't like they do the Cobra Commander, but yeah, Steven Summers. Again, I don't know what happened to that guy, but I liked his big tentpole summer movies he would do, the G.I. Joe and the Mummy, you know, stuff like that.
They're very like generic kind of
Van Helsing.
They're kind of almost by the numbers movies, but there's something about them that they just work.
Yeah, it made me tolerate Channing Tatum in a movie. Like again,
he was the thing I didn't really care for that much in the movie, but I was like, whatever. That's not my Duke.
No, I know.
I enjoyed the movie. Like I thought it was fun and goofy, and I'm like, it's a cartoon that was only made for to make toys, so like
it was really goofy. It was very much, it paid tribute to the original series of, again, like I guess there was a few more murders than usual, but it was just like a lot of cartoony violence and people, you know,
and the teaming
up and getting the vehicles and running
weapons
around
over the top and ridiculous and like
underwater bases. It was all pretty cool.
And then they did that sequel with The Rock that looked like it was going to be, you know, a little bit better, and then it was sort of the same. Like it was different, but it was, I had the same feeling when it was over. I'm like, yeah, it was
Bruce Willis winking at the camera again.
Like
I'm Bruce Willis.
Which I thought was hilarious. They're like, yeah, we're starting over.
Yeah.
The Rock's going to do what he did to the Fast and Furious franchise, which he did not, because no one really cared. There was some cool Snake Eye stuff. And I liked
all that.
I
forgot The Rock was in that. Roadblock, right? That was a big thing.
Yeah. I don't remember much about that movie other than Snake Eyes was cool. Bruce Willis. Well, I feel bad now because I was saying how he was like phoning everything in, but
yeah, I mean, that's why I said
had that like disease going on that might have been part of that. I don't know.
I know. Well, then that's what I said. They've got a wink into the camera, which he always just kind of was like contractually. I probably ranted on this before on the show, but contractually obligated to wink at the camera and be like, "I'm Bruce Willis,"
and that's all
he
is. Yeah, that's why I didn't like the last two diehards either, because I'm like, without hair, he's just Bruce Willis to me. Like there was something about John McClane having a little bit of hair. It set him apart from the rest of the Bruce Willis movies for me.
Well, yeah, he was always hanging on to his action hero status, like his last hurrah. Like, I'm still the man. And like Samson, he lost his hair and all of his power was gone.
It was just, so that, and then the other thing that I was really surprised about, which you had messaged me about, was for some reason they're rebooting the Scary Movies. Why?
I don't know. That's so funny. It came out because I just watched Scary Movie like 2 or 3 days ago. Like I can't sleep. I'm getting older, so I'm up between like usually 4 and 7 a.m. and I put a movie on to listen to fall back asleep.
Yeah.
And Scary Movie was the one I rolled with because, again, I saw it in a theater. I hated it. Thought it was the stupidest thing ever. Bought it on DVD and watched it. It was probably one of the first 5 DVDs I bought. And I watched it 100 times. My girlfriend at the time, we just loved it. And it was like a go-to comedy. And I still have the nostalgia, like love for it. It's completely stupid. It makes no sense.
I had the same reaction to part 2. That was the second movie for me. Like, I hated it in the theater, and I went with a couple people, and I was like, I'm sorry we went to that. That was terrible. They're like, I wasn't that bad. And then I watched it again. I was like, this is surprisingly funny. Like, I still like it. I watched the first two a couple years ago, and I was like, yeah, these are still good.
Yeah, I don't mind the second one either. They upped everything a little bit more, and the casting was really great. Tim Curry and Chris Elliott and David Cross just going completely
amazing.
Wild.
And I actually really thought that Anna Faris was really good in those movies too. The first two, I can't really go past those. Like they get really bad after the first two.
Yeah, I hate to say this, and it feels like blasphemy. Once the Zuckers got involved, it seemed like it kind of tanked. And Charlie Sheen and stuff. It took a weird twist, and like The first one is so generic and stupid because it is just Scream, completely shot for shot, almost remake, but hilarious. And like the stuff I shouldn't laugh at, I laugh, like the whole Doofy, the Doofy character.
Jokes, like I would have loved this quote, and I cannot quote those anymore.
Oh, there's so many times, yeah, that I think of it, and I'm at work, like, and I'm thinking of Doofy when people ask me to do something. I'm like, Deputy Doofy reporting for duty, and I'm holding up a piece of paper.
Elizabeth has a few lines that I like burst out laughing at, and I absolutely 100% can't say those anymore. And,
oh yeah, everything Marlon Wayans says in that movie too.
Oh yeah,
can't say any of it.
Well, and then
couldn't say it then either.
The whole franchise just got so, like, they got away from what made the parody so good, and it was just like references after references after references of just stupid stuff. I'm like, I can't handle these movies anymore. But yeah, Paramount seems to be keen on bringing literally every IP that they've ever had back on the streaming service. I mean, the new Naked Gun's gonna happen, and
is that official with Liam Neeson and everything?
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
Hey, again, my only hope for that movie is that because Seth MacFarlane is also kind of an old soul and likes the classical big band scores, I hope they do the whole movie with the big band score for the jokes and the cues and everything.
Yeah,
the trombone at the right time, the strings, the drums.
I love the Naked Gun theme song. It's so good.
It is. The whole soundtrack. That's one of my favorite movie soundtracks I've ever bought that I would listen to. And if they can add that back to the movie, maybe there'll be hope.
I don't know. I'm interested in seeing where, like, Turtles goes and Transformers and G.I. Joe, which I know is going to be ridiculous, but I was just thinking, I want to watch King Kong and Godzilla again. So, like, clearly, I can handle some of those ridiculous over-the-top action movies.
Well, that's what we want more of. We want more, again, I want to bring back the big summer tentpole blockbuster silly, goofy, fun movies.
And good soundtrack song to go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, remember that all the time, how, like, MTV was just full of, like, the summer blockbuster themed music videos? I loved those.
Yeah, they always had one song that was like the single that you'd buy the whole album because it didn't feel like it fit on the song, on the movie.
Yeah.
But because it was like Aerosmith doing, you know, the song or something. Or
well, it's like when Lady Gaga did that Top Gun song, like I didn't really care that much, but I listened to it. I'm like, this definitely sounds like a summer blockbuster soundtrack song. And I saw the music video with, you know, full on clips from the movie. I'm like, this is just full on MTV nostalgia for me.
Yeah, they should bring that back. I agree.
Is what all those were. They don't really have those as much anymore. So I hope that they all have those with them. Well, I know one that doesn't have a breakaway pop song, and that was the Dune movies.
It's okay. I'm here. It's been a while since you've had one of those nightmares. Tell me, what was it about?
It's only fragments. Nothing's clear. You've been fighting the Harkonnens for decades.
Luke!
My family's been fighting them for centuries.
Your blood comes from dukes, them great houses. Here, we're equal. What we do for the benefit of all.
Well, I'd very much like to be equal to you.
Maybe I'll show you the way.
Deal with this prophet. Send assassins.
Fade Rotha. He's psychotic.
I see possible futures all at once. And in so many futures, our enemies prevail. But I do see a way. There is a narrow way through. My allegiance is to you. Do you believe me?
This is a form of power that our world has not yet seen. The ultimate power.
I want you to know, I will love you as long as I breathe.
You will never lose me as long as you stay who you are.
Consider what you're about to do, Paul Atreides.
Silence!
This prophecy
is how they enslave us!
I wanted to talk to you because I know you like these movies a lot, and I have absolutely nothing bad to say about Dune 2. I thought everybody was amazing. I thought they did great. These movies look amazing. Like, the special effects are just, everything looks pretty real, honestly. But the thing is, when I get done with every movie, I'm not a Dune guy. I want to be, and I don't see anything wrong with the movies.
Yeah.
But by the time they're done, I'm like, I don't care. And that's why I wanted to talk to you about it so badly, because I want to like them so much more than I do.
Yeah.
But by the end, I was sort of, the second movie gets so melodramatic and over the top dramatic and serious, like so serious, that I kind of ended up laughing at stuff that I definitely wasn't supposed to be laughing at.
No, I 100% understand what you're talking about, because
good. I thought that was crazy.
No, it gets really silly. And again, when I'm seeing Paul Maudib, Timothée Chalamet doing his thing, I'm like, there is a 100-pound, 5-foot dude, talking tough the entire time. And it does take me out when he would give the big speeches. It would take me out a little bit. And it's not like, I'm not trying to disrespect him. He's a good actor. He's a great looking kid. He's doing stuff the right way.
For sure.
Yeah, but especially like at the end when he's like embracing it, it almost was missing some. It was so obvious what was coming and what was going to happen. Yeah. Like it needed like more build to the crescendo. There needed to be more music or something to key it up again. And like you said, you focus on the right stuff. The movies are beautiful. Like, I love that we're getting a big budget sci-fi movie with a film director who is more than adequate. It goes beyond.
Denis Villeneuve is amazing at what he does. I mean, I loved.
He is.
Blade Runner, I thought he did just so good with that movie, and I was very excited about this. And like, even I kept, because I didn't really text you after I saw the movie very much, like what I thought of it. But when I, like, leading up to it, I remember telling you, like, I want to go see Dune, but I kind of can wait. Like, I don't, like, there's something about it that they just don't connect to me, and I don't know if it's like the underlying Star Warsness
you've seen of it the before. Movies. Yeah, you kind of seen the same thing before, a little bit different.
Yeah, but I mean, but Star Wars totally copied Dune from the books. I mean,
oh, 100%.
It's clear. Like, it's, and I think, but the problem then is you have the Star Wars movies have happened already. And I mean, they're literally saying the Emperor, and like, there's so much stuff that just is the same kind of plot line, and right down to like using the voice.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's just, it's like the same thing. And I tried to watch the original one.
David Lynch.
Yeah, thank you. David Lynch made. Mm-hmm. And like, I've seen it before, and I was like, I'll watch it again. Maybe I'll like him. I mean, David Lynch himself doesn't even really like Dune. He didn't like the way it turned out. But like, I got like, I think maybe half hour, 45 minutes into it. And that's when I was like, you know what? I don't think these are for me. And I want them to be, though. Like, they seem like they should be.
Oh, no. I was late to Dune 1984, David Lynch. I didn't see that when I was a kid. I had some older friends who were big into it, and they would reference it. And I played a computer game called Dune 2, which
I
was like,
I heard about it for years too. And I was like,
yeah, I know. And I checked it out I think in the late 90s, and just, I love it. I mean, it really is like a space opera. Like, the first 15-20 minutes are really fun. I mean, it is really kind of cheesy, and the special effects are dated, especially like the shield fights they do with like the block.
But there's something charming about them for some reason.
There is, and the cast is out of sight. Like, it's a brilliant cast in that one. I really love Brad Dourif and Patrick Stewart and Dean Stockwell.
Patrick Stewart always throws me off in the original. I'm like, oh god, that's right, he's in this. And then I think of like
exactly the same.
Who he is, like who the character is, and who it ends up being in the new ones. And I'm like, ah, wow, that's the night and day.
Just to go back to the Dune 2, like, of all the casting, I was on board with everyone except, and it pains me to say this, Christopher Walken. He just felt like he was in a different movie.
You told me that. You had mentioned that you felt that he was distracting, and you are 100% correct.
He just really didn't feel like he was in it all the way. Like, again,
it's sort of like what we were saying with Bruce Willis. Like, that's kind of what it felt like.
In a way, yes. Because he didn't like add anything like Christopher Walken, like, I'm gonna get him, I'm gonna do something. He's just like, I'm just kind of confused, and I'll do whatever you say under duress. The cast was okay. That one guy, who was it that plays Sting played him in the original one.
Austin
Butler played Austin Butler, right?
Yes, Austin Butler, who now super famous because of Elvis, which I haven't seen, but yeah,
I haven't either. He was really he really creeped me out a lot, though. I gotta tell you.
I was looking forward to the ultimate fight between Paul and Elvis, because I can't. Yeah. What is his name? Fade Routh. That's another thing. Fade, I don't know what anybody's name is. All I kept thinking when I watched the first Dune, the remake of Dune, was I really like this movie. Kinda. There's a lot of characters, but it feels like the beginning of a TV show, which makes sense because there's so many books. I mean, there's so many. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more than I thought there were. And
Sci-Fi Network's done like 20 of them.
Well, I thought that one of the reasons I was sort of cold to the first one was because at the time it was still a pandemic and it wasn't for certain that there was going to be a Dune 2.
No, and I'm so glad that if it would have come out at a different time besides the pandemic, there might not have been.
I know. And when it said part one, I'm like, ooh, I don't think this is confirmed that there's going to be a sequel. I hope it does well.
Well, yeah, because I was worried. We got snake bit with Blade Runner 2049, which again, that was like looked great. It was big budget, but it didn't draw just like the original one. Even with all the 40 years of cult movie making, people didn't come to the sequel. I remember I went to the movie theater and saw it, and there was assigned seating, and there were two of us in the theater, and the guy sat right next to me in the entire theater.
How did they do that?
I don't know, but it's a long movie to sit next to some random stranger with your sci-fi oddity. I don't know, man.
I wish,
but it was a good movie.
In the theater, that kind of makes me sad that I didn't. I saw it late on HBO or Max when it first came out on there, and I was like, wow, this looks kind of breathtaking in a lot of scenes. Like the cinematography, just the effects, everything is just so big and huge and looks so good. Like this is perfect for a theater, and that's all I kept hearing and reviews like, you guys see this in the theater. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna. I definitely wanted to see the second one in theater, and I'm glad I did. Like I said, I can't find any real fault in it other than it just doesn't connect to me for some reason.
It's the template. You've kind of seen it before. I really I like the spectacle of all, and like Dune 2 I thought was better than Dune Part 1. I thought that they were able to get into more nooks and crannies of the universe, and also the costumes and everything like that. Like the beginning when the Harkonnen are in those like spacesuits and flying around with no sound, it looks so cool. Like it was kind of like a weird this costume design seems like it's from the 60s, but it's being applied today and in the future, and it looks wonderful. Like I can't tell that they're, I lost myself in the illusion of it all, basically. Not like the plot, but the way that it looks.
I mean that goes a lot with Denis Villeneuve's movies. I mean, it's just so you get wrapped up in them because they're so huge and massive, and it's just so textured. Like the world is so, he does that so well. And I mean, this has been out long enough. Like I said, it's gonna be out digitally in a couple days, so like I'm totally fine talking about plot points and stuff. Like blanket spoiler alert for this movie. But like where this one kind of ends off, these two movies are the first David Lynch movie, right?
That's basically, there's a few changes. I mean, they kind of like vanquish everyone at the end of the David Lynch movie.
I didn't get through it that second time, and I don't remember
the thing. The baby. I don't remember what the baby's name is, but Lady Jessica's daughter, Paul's sister, comes out, and she's 7 years old in the original movie, and destroys everything. So it was kind of interesting they kept her in utero in this movie instead of letting her, which would be silly. Again, they couldn't do it. Because it looked silly in 1984 when they had her, a 7-year-old running around destroying everything.
And Lady Jessica in this one, Rebecca Ferguson, I loved her turn in this one. I mean, she's always sort of on the fence. You don't know whether she's, she's pretty much good in the first movie. And in this one, really shades of gray to being evil. I mean,
I loved her.
I thought she's absolutely great in it, for real. Everybody. I didn't have a problem with anybody in this movie other than Christopher Walken, really.
And it's a beautiful looking cast too. Like everyone in this movie is really beautiful and easy to look at, especially Florence Pugh. Beautiful she looked. Like, again, I know that it was in HD 4K brilliance, but what a beautiful look she had in this movie. And I really wish she was in the movie more.
Yeah, and I thought her character was neat too. Where like you don't really, I mean, she seems like she's trying to be good the whole time. And then I guess because of Star Wars, you know, the Emperor's not good. And I liked where her character is. And again, I sort of got that feeling of, is there going to be another one? Because how attached can I get to these characters if it's not going to go for? I think it is going further. I think they are going to do a third one.
I think they did confirm they are doing a third one. Yeah, after the box office,
which makes me happy because the way this one leaves off, like, it really isn't much. I mean, it sort of ends this story kind of, but not really. I mean, Paul's big change throughout the whole movie is interesting. And I honestly don't know where it's going. Like, he kind of also goes bad, sort of, but for good reasons.
That's what I've heard. I mean, I heard it gets pretty weird.
But I don't know if he gets, I don't know if he stays bad or if it's like, I don't know what the deal is with him, but like, I liked kind of the arc, but it did all of a sudden seem like it was like in fast forward towards the end. Like we were really feeding through his change as the movie goes. But I liked all of it and I liked Zendaya in it quite a bit.
Zendaya was great, beautiful as well. And
I didn't really think she was much different than she was as Mary Jane though. In like the first Spider-Man movie that she was in. I felt like she was the same. She's in kind of the same role, but I was really happy when Josh Brolin came back. I assumed he came back because I thought it was weird that an actor that big would get killed off in the first one. I mean, he just sort of disappears. You don't know what happens.
I mean, they killed Steven Seagal in Executive Decision and like, you know, pretty quick in that movie. Didn't see that one coming.
He should die in more movies. It was just his birthday the other day.
I just watched it on the radio. Decision. Sorry.
How dare you bring up Seagal? No, I assumed Josh Brolin was going to be in it because he was in all the interviews and press, but like you didn't see him in any of the trailers or anything. So they did a good job of like keeping some things a secret, but mainly this whole movie was promoted on writing sandworms.
Yeah.
That's really what most of the trailers were. And again, that stuff is cool. I thought it looked good. I remember anytime I see like a fan art or something and it's a sandworm, I immediately think it's Tremors.
It did. The sandworms still remind me of Beetlejuice quite a bit, though. I've got to be honest. I think of Beetlejuice a lot, which I don't mind that association. Tremors to a lesser extent. But I love all the social media trends that they've done with the movie, with the sandworm writing and the voice and all that kind of stuff. They make me laugh when I think of that.
The voice I can't handle. I can't. The voice is so ridiculous in this, in both movies. And then the other thing that I kept chuckling at in the movie is like the theme song, like this, the score of it where it's like, hi-ya! That like noise that happens whenever something big, like a big moment with Paul Atreides happens. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, it's just so, I don't know. There's just something about it. It makes me laugh every time. God, I wish I liked these movies more than I do. I still haven't bought the remake of Dune, and I'll be interested to see if I end up getting the second one, because I kind of want to see it again, but I'm sure it'll be on Max before too long.
It's definitely worth a rewatch. I saw it twice in like 3 days when it came out. I actually went to like the late show at like 10:45.
Yeah, I remember PM. You texted me that. I'm like, what?
And it didn't, but I wasn't exhausted or tired. Like usually when I watch movies that late in the, you know, even in the theater, I get tired, but this one, it held my interest the entire time, which I was happy with. I mean, again, you know, the beats, you kind of know what's going to happen, but just the way, again, we've harped on it, but the beauty of it, the sound, the attention to all those beautiful details, cinematography, everything was so beautiful. Like
sure.
it does 100%. And I just didn't even feel like I was at a 3-hour movie. I got out and I was like, wow, that felt like an hour and a half. It was good. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, but this is good.
The one things I really I liked the like the big machines that the, I think the Arcadians used to like harvest the spice, like those big
the harvesters.
I thought those things were really neat looking, and I liked the scenes where the Fremen are trying to like attack them and stop them. I thought all the action scenes I thought were really really good too.
Yeah, all the future weapons and everything that they use and the camouflage and all that, the breathing, you know, under the sand and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, it's really neat stuff. Like it's really, and I knew when I was watching, I'm like, Sean's, I bet really likes this. This is this is a very sci-fi heavy movie.
It is. Like, again, I love.
It's like sci-fi for sci-fi's sake.
Yeah, this isn't hard sci-fi, but it's semi-hard sci-fi. And
it is, definitely.
I like that a lot. And that people actually went and saw it and paid money for it and they invested in it. And now after 2 weeks, they made more money than they did in the first one from the box office.
I think I love that.
That assures the sequel, which is good. Because again, I want more of these kind of movies. My nerd heart wants science fiction done with a big budget, with respect, with all the bells and whistles, and for people to see it and love it. And that's great. And not to become some forgotten cult classic that people are going to embrace it. Like,
that's kind of what the first one was, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how it felt. Well, even, I mean, God, that movie's so, I mean, most David Lynch movies are weird, but like when you add some of his weirdness to what's already just a bizarre storyline to begin with, and it's so gross too. The original ones, I mean, this one has some really gross stuff. Like the Skarsgård character, I can't think of what his name is.
Baron.
But yeah. God, the Baron is still gross.
He is gross, but he's not even as gross as the one from 84. Like, no, I was expecting was expecting grosser than what we saw. We actually got with a lighter version.
He's just like smudgy and big and fat, but and the original is just so like just pussy looking dude. Ugh.
Literally floating around all the time and very much on a string, which is always funny. And that actor who played him, I can't remember, but he's in, you know, Blue Velvet, and I think he was in Thinking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Oh yeah.
Every time he pops up, I always think of him as the Baron. I'm like, there's the Baron.
I love when in this movie when, you know, Dave Bautista is sort of a big bad kind of in the first one. And I love in this one when he gets like weak and like runs away. And there's something about cowardly Dave Bautista that I love.
I can't believe that Dave Bautista is like 55 years old now. Like, I know he was a late bloomer to wrestling and acting. And I saw him recently and I was like, whoa, he looks really skinny. Like, he's lost weight, but it's like the older gentleman lost weight. The muscle's gone, you know, can't retain anymore.
I
just can't believe how old he is, but he's great in everything he's been in. Blade Runner 2049, he had a great scene. You know,
tiny
glasses.
The most. I remember his scene the most out of anything else, because it was just, he was like that one scene. I'm like, wow, he's a really good actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's learned better than a pro wrestler.
I think one thing that helped me with this movie a lot too was watching the first movie, like refreshing it again the week that I saw it, like a couple days before. And I had to watch the first movie in like two or three parts because it's so long and things would kept coming up and distracting me. But it was nice to like refresh on kind of where everybody was in the last one leading into this one. Cause it just sort of picked, it sort of does have that. It is very much the second chapter. Like, that's how it feels. The sand walking, I think, is always, that always kind of makes me laugh too.
It is kind of, it's just dancing, which is fun. Like, and when they demonstrate it, it does kind of make me laugh. Like, it makes sense in the world and the universe to not disturb the worms, but it does look funny. It's like, look at me, I'm hopscotching across the desert.
It's so fun. And then I saw, I think the same week that I saw this, I actually saw Wonka as well, which I know you absolutely hate that movie. I didn't care for it, but I don't think I disliked it as much as you did. I just didn't understand why it needs to exist.
It doesn't. It's just Warner Brothers wants more money, I guess. But
no, it was funny to watch that kind of paired with this. I swear some of Chalamet's dance moves are the same in this.
Oh, the sand walking? Sand walking? Yeah, 100%. Probably switching back and forth.
What were some things that you, what were some of your favorite parts in this movie?
I guess I just like the pursuit of the Harkonnens. I really like Lady Jessica and her whole plotline, like you alluded to, that she kind of took a dark turn. But I liked what she was doing through the whole movie. I just thought her character was really interesting, much more interesting than the original Lady Jessica. The overall just big spectacle of it all. Like, again, we knew what was going, but every scene was just meticulously crafted and looked beautiful. And it was even for like, you know, a 5-minute scene or a 20-minute scene, just the attention to detail that was paid to all of it.
Well, and I was going to say, like, I was just thinking about how everything is, you know, different shades of brown essentially in the movie. But then when you go to, when you see Austin Butler's character for the first time, that whole scene is like black and white. Which is
when
they real go to those dark change, and like the whites are so like bleached out white.
Yeah, and the Harkonnen home planet.
Yeah, it's such a contrast to what you see the rest of the time. But even when you are just in the deserts, like, it's amazing the different sets that are in it and how they look so detailed and different. And I was never bored with any of the ways the things looked. And even the scenes that were just in the desert, I'm like, it still looks engaging. Like, I still am interested in what's going on.
Yeah, Giddy Prime.
I think muddled, and it wasn't.
No, and there's another scene, Austin Butler, that I liked, where he met with Lady Margot, and there was like fireworks going off, but it looked like thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
When they were kind of talking in secret and they met up and had their little rendezvous. I like that scene a lot. And that, again, remind me a little bit of Star Wars and a little bit of like the gothic horror.
A lot of Game of Thrones too.
Castle.
Reminding of, yeah. I like Lady Jessica being pregnant the whole time and like the baby talking to her. And like, is the baby controlling her? I was a little confused on that exactly. But then you actually see like a vision later of Anya Taylor-Joy is the grown-up version of the baby, I believe. There's a lot going on in the movie. There's a lot of characters. But I do feel like it was juggled really well. And I like Javier Bardem. We haven't even talked about him. He's like main people in it.
Okay. Well, I got to go and say that was probably one of my least favorite parts of it. I kind of got tired of him doing the same kind of stuff all the time over and over again.
Yeah.
And
just obsessed with Paul the entire movie.
Yeah. Just like talking to everyone all the time as Stilgar. And I actually prefer the Stilgar in the original Dune.
Oh, yeah.
Everett McGill, you know, who you remember fondly from People Under the Stairs.
Oh, he's the best. That and then also Twin Peaks. He's one of my favorite characters in Twin Peaks. When he shows up in Twin Peaks The Return, that was like one of my favorite moments. I'm like, finally, one of the people I love in the original.
Let me do a full circle moment. You know who he's acted beside before? Huh. In a few movies that he's done, at least one here. Aforementioned Steven Seagal in Under Siege 2, Dark Territory. So great.
You know,
I love
Steven Seagal one more time. This is your last time you're ever going to be on the show.
I think we need to do a whole episode on him.
I've seen barely any of his movies.
I didn't see any of his movies until the beginning of the year. I started watching them a little bit. And for my money, they are hilarious and cheesy and silly. And I will watch all of them. And maybe you might like him too. He's a total D-bag in real life and a traitor to this country. And everyone seems to have hated him in Hollywood. It's amazing that he had that run that he did.
Nothing to say about Steven Seagal.
No, was it him and Van Damme that were trying to fight all the time? And Van Damme totally scared him away. Like, it's pretty impressive.
I tend to like Javier Bardem and things, but yeah, I got a little tired of a lot of it by the end of the movie, to be honest. They're both movies are so long and there's so much stuff that happens in them. And I like him as I'm going, but like I was saying with this one, it just gets so overly serious towards the end, especially with Paul's character. And I didn't fully know what he was doing through a lot of it. I'm like, so is he bad now? It's hard to tell. And I'm like, there better be a third movie because they're leaving you on kind of he kind of takes over, but then they're like, everybody's coming to attack you now. They're not accepting you as the leader. It's like, oh, there's going to be a war. Or are we going to get that movie?
I hope so. Yeah. I think so.
I hope this goes somewhere.
Yeah, that's not how the first one ended. I mean, the original David Lynch one, but I like that the ending was kind of cliffhangery like that. And I'd like to see the other houses and everything that they're going to bring. So,
yeah, and that's another thing that I kept thinking of Game of Thrones too. And they're seeing all the different houses and it just the different families that are involved and like who takes over what part of the spice and all that stuff. I was like, I wish it was a TV show where we could get like multiple seasons instead of like 3-hour movies every single time.
I could see them rebooting this in 10 or 20 years or even extended universe as like a prestige TV show on Max or.
Yeah. Prime well, they've done miniseries. Like I think they did a miniseries
on the Sci-Fi Network. Yeah.
Like a long time ago. There's been so many times that they've tried to reboot Dune. But I always heard of Dune, but it was so weird that I never really watched any of it until probably I knew that they were making this and it was from the guy that made Blade Runner, and I was like, oh good, then it's probably gonna be great. And it is good. I just wish I was more of a Dune person,
a Dunophile. I don't know what they're called. Duneramas.
No, that seems Dune. Wrong. I don't know.
We'll have to work on that.
You know, the other thing we haven't talked about when it comes to Dune 2 is the popcorn bucket.
Oh yeah, that's web social media.
I I wish our theater had them. That'd be a fun thing to have in this room where I've got a bunch of movie things.
It would be a good artifact, but I don't know about the practicality of it all.
I mean, just it's so weird looking. Like, I wouldn't want to get popcorn out of it. I want to reach in for, but like, it just seemed so. They had to know, right? They had to know what it looked
like. Oh, definitely. Well, they want to be edgy, but that's what I give them credit for, that they took that leap. Like, you wouldn't have done that. A while ago, it would have been an accidental thing. Like, oh my gosh, we didn't realize we got to recall them. And now it's like, it is what it is. Whatever you think it is, that's what it is. Kind of like the spice.
Yeah. It's like,
controls the universe.
The old days, it would have been like, oh, you think somebody's going to put a in this? And then nowadays, like, oh, somebody's definitely going to put a in this. Like, we should definitely sell this.
That's how we're going to prove.
Yeah, TikTok's going to go crazy.
I can see a PowerPoint and they're like, you know, possible insertion approved.
I think it is crazy also how theaters are going nuts with these popcorn cases. I saw the Ghostbusters one, and man, I wish I had it.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more, I think, this summer. I read an article, and I can't remember. There was another movie, you'd be surprised, they're going to do like a popcorn bucket for.
It's the new Steelbook.
Well, if they did Hellraiser, you know, they could do the Lament configuration.
Oh, absolutely.
It would be kind of fun.
But I hate it when it's only like chains that I don't have. Because our chain here, the only thing we got really recently was the Taylor Swift buckets and the... which they still have those. They haven't gotten rid of all of them yet. I did get a Taylor Swift cup just because I wanted a Coke that day.
I remember at that theater, when we first moved to our town, I bought a hat, a tie-in movie promotional hat from Field of Dreams. It was white, you know, with the big bill and the plastic mesh. And it said, you know, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. And I was so proud of that hat for like 6 months.
That's amazing.
That's the kind of stuff I wish they still sold at theaters. Fun stuff like that. They don't really do that kind of promotion, like to your popcorn bucket. Or I remember going to the Addams Family movies and buying like the giant plastic Cherry Coke Addams Family cup. I'm like, I swear, maybe
they got Addams Family related. Top Gun Maverick one that they did it for that I really liked. And then our theater did here in town for Solo. I got a big Solo cup with you know, the character Han Solo. And Lando, and then it's got a Lando topper on it, which I really like. My favorite part of the movie.
I was really picturing a red Solo cup with like a lightsaber on it or something, like a sticker.
I have a Big Brother themed red Solo cup. Love it.
That makes sense. That's fine.
It's great. But yeah, I don't know. Anything else on Dune that you want to talk about? I mean, I feel like we just covered how great the movie really is. Didn't connect with me for some reason.
Yeah.
But I didn't like Wayne's World the first time I saw that either. So.
That's blasphemy, but
or office.
No, I think that's pretty bad too. Tommy Boy and Old School for me were two that I saw in theater again, didn't like and then loved as well. So it happens.
But sometimes it connects. Yeah, eventually.
But the thing, we don't need to make this a 3-hour podcast about a 3-hour movie. It was just done well and done right, and it's getting the rewards it deserved. It got some Academy Awards, I think, for maybe visual effects, sound, something like that.
It got as much as people thought it would.
Yeah, but still, I feel like it got the critical praise and the fan praise, and most importantly to the studios, the box office.
You know, I think we can agree, though, as great as Dune 2 is, it's no Jupiter Ascending.
No!
The Rewatch Podcast is an Alpha Media production.